Hello, Regan.
Hello, Jason.
So, have you heard of the Gen Z stare?
So, the Gen Z stare, okay, here's what I know about it. It's when you're talking to a person who's Gen Z and they maybe, are either thinking what you said was sort of dumb or needing like a moment to compute, and they just sort of like stare at you.
That's kind of essentially it. So there are a couple different definitions depending on who you ask. If you ask someone who's a millennial or older, they'll tell you that the Gen Z stare is when you're in a very normal social interaction with a member of Gen Z. You say something expected in a social interaction, like, hey, how are you? And instead of responding, you just get a very blank-faced stare. That's the millennial and older definition. Now, if you ask someone who's a member of Gen Z what the Gen Z stare is, you'll get a definition that's a little bit closer to what you just said, which is you say something that they consider silly or stupid, and rather than responding, they just kind of give you this blank-faced stare. But older generations have shot back and said, we all do that. You know, if you say something silly to me, I'm also going to stare at you like you just said something silly. And so they feel it's just a lack of response in a normal situation.
Here's what I can tell you I like about the Gen Z stare. As an elder millennial, being made fun of for my skinny jeans, my side part, my just lack of interest, I guess, that boomers thought my generation had in the general workplace, I'm excited for some other generation to be finally taking some heat.
You're happy to pass the torch of criticism from the older generations
and
to
the
Gen Z.
Younger generations. But that's yes, true. Welcome to this space, Gen Zers. We're happy, or Zoomers? Is that what we're calling you? Welcome, Zoomers. We're happy to have you.
Well, I wanted to learn more about what's going on both culturally and psychologically with this Gen Z stare, so I sat down with a professor of psychology to learn more.
Hello, my name is Tara Well. I'm an associate professor of psychology at Barnard College of Columbia University in New York City. And my research specialization is self-perception, particularly mirrors, and how we mirror each other and also communicate using face-to-face contact.
Absolutely. So hello, Professor Well. I really appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. So I'll just jump right into it. So in your professional opinion and in what you've observed, what is the Gen Z stare?
The Gen Z stare is a term that's becoming more and more popular on social media. Several articles have been written about it. And it's the fact that many people have observed that young people of that age group tend to look at you with a blank look, both in person and in their social media accounts. I've noticed it myself, actually, as a college professor teaching for many years, that my class sort of has a more of a blank look on their face than they used to. And so it's a noticeable difference for me. However, I don't know that it's been studied scientifically to show evidence that it's specific to Gen Z. I think it's likely to be specific to some other things that Gen Z just, you know, naturally has more exposure to. For instance, spending more time online, having less face-to-face contact with their peers and other people. And also, it might have something to do with ideology in the sense of wanting to present yourself in a certain way and to be perceived in a certain way and not other ways. It's hard to know. There's lots of speculation on it. And I think it's going to be a very interesting topic to study more rigorously.
Absolutely. And so do you think this might be a phenomenon that we've seen before, just not as widespread? Or do you think this is something kind of recent and specific to Gen Z?
I think that it is something that has cropped up after the pandemic, mainly because of, as we know, the rates of anxiety and depression have gone up significantly for the Gen Z group. The Gen Z group were the most affected in terms of their mental health, mental well-being from the restrictions of in-person socialization and their normal activities during the pandemic. So I think it is definitely related to that. And the time that was missed by that group I think it impacted that group much more heavily to have missed that much time socializing in the normal ways that we had been socializing before the pandemic.
Assuming that this Gen Z stare is something real and recent, what other than you've gotten kind of into this with the pandemic, but what could be some other potential causes? I mean, with the pandemic involved, you know, what specifically it seems the isolation and the lack of contact are two of the biggest reasons you think?
Yeah, I mean, and it's also hard to know, you know, whether it's ironic or authentic, how much self-awareness people have around their neutral facial expressions. And so we know that facial expressions have a lot to do with how we're feeling. In fact, we can actually even change our moods by changing our facial expressions. People say when you smile, you'll feel better. Well, there's actually evidence for that in research that has, you know, manipulated the corners of a research participant's mouths, have found that they actually feel better even if they're not intentionally aware that they were smiling or urged to feel better. So when your face is just kind of neutral and flat, you can be regulating your emotions so that you don't want to appear, you know, too eager, too cringe. You don't want to be like all smiley and then have someone come back and kind of reject you with this neutral stare. So it could be a way to sort of suppress how one is feeling, not wanting to show emotion. It could also be, you know, people who are more in feeling more depressed or anxious and just having that kind of flat, neutral expression where they have an awful lot going on inside. Again, it's really hard to know when you just look at it. Gen Z has been exposed to, you know, growing up constantly online, and they've been exposed to, you know, endless imagery and emotional content and all kinds of things that are meant to evoke strong emotions in us to get us to click through and to stay watching. And so in a way, they might be just desensitized to all that, like, cultural saturation of all that heavily evocative kinds of images, posts and things online that are meant to create a sense of outrage in us. So it's kind of a blasé thing. The other factor is exposure and embracing of non-beauty norms, and Gen Z aesthetics are oftentimes will reject the conventional beauty norms and the idea that, you know, you have to look beautiful and sexy and perfect and have the photoshopped image and the perfect body and the, you know, filtered image into something that's more raw and somewhat ambiguous, even embracing, you know, being awkward, not being perfect. And this has been labeled aesthetic of resistance, the idea of showing up an indifference to, you know, making an effort toward trying to be beautiful or to create a pleasing aesthetic image for others.
Absolutely. And so it sounds like a lot of the potential causes for this that you're mentioning have a lot to do with being online and in the digital space. And so something interesting I've also seen is that some members of Gen Z have been accusing members of Generation Alpha, the generation below them, of having a quote, blue light stare from staring at screens that, you know, project a blue light. And so it seems like these issues could be kind of multi-generational with the generations that grew up online.
Right. And if we, you know, and the more time we spend online looking at a screen instead of looking at each other, the less, you know, sort of practice we get, you know, regulating our facial expressions, because the majority of communication when two people are face to face goes on nonverbally. And so when you're on your screen, you're not interacting in that way. So that then when you do interact with people in person, you might be a little rusty on your social skills and your kind of ability to express emotions and sort of make a connection with other people by making eye contact, by smiling, not in some kind of phony, disingenuous way, but just as a way to acknowledge other people's existence and their humanity and just to be kind. We seem to be doing less of that. And again, I think it's because in some ways we're out of practice, and that can be true for everyone who's spending more time online. But I think it's particularly affecting younger people, and certainly Gen Alpha probably too, as well as Gen Z, because the brain is still developing up until 25 years of age. So a lot of times, how we regulate our emotions, how we come to, solve problems, use critical thinking skills, evaluate social situations. All those things are still developing. And so when those opportunities to practice and learn those skills were disrupted by the pandemic, I think many young people might have, sort of gotten behind on learning how to do that. And now their comfort zone is more looking at their screen than trying to go find a friend and meet them for coffee or having a chat with somebody face to face. Even doing a Zoom call or something like that. There is some evidence that people enjoy posting photos of themselves, but again, are they, the question is sort of unknown in terms of what is the intention? Is the intention to actually make a connection with other people? Are they sending a message that they're kind of just jaded and don't care about anything, that they don't want to appear too eager, too cringe? It's hard to know what the intention is behind it unless we do some more research and sort of ask people, what's that about? It's an interesting photo. I sometimes ask my students, are you okay? Because they have their, it's like I'm looking out at a sea of sort of blank faces and I'm like, are you guys all right? And then they'll go, yeah, we are, So it could just be a new norm too. But I do think that we might lose something if we don't have those experiences where we're meeting people one-on-one in person and having a face-to-face conversation with them. However nerve-wracking and scary that might be for some of us, there's a lot of health benefits that go with it. It helps you regulate your emotions. It can certainly regulate your nervous system by being in contact with other people. It creates a sense of safety and security and also gives you confidence because many, many jobs now require that you actually make face-to-face contact with people. So a lot of sort of the things that I've seen online, complaints from older people about Gen Z are oftentimes, well, they were a service representative and they just looked at them with a blank stare instead of smiling and saying, can I help you? They're just like looking at them with a blank stare. And so older people aren't used to that because they grew up in a culture where, it was part of your job as a customer facing employee to actually acknowledge the customer and interact with them. And in some ways, sort of sync up with them and acknowledge them and feel like they're being seen and heard by you as a representative of, the business or whatever. So that's one issue that I'm sort of concerned about in terms of, I think jobs are going to change a lot in the next, 5 to 10, certainly 20 years. But the people who still have that ability to make good face-to-face contact, show up and feel like they can make a connection with somebody in a minute or two are really going to have an edge in a lot of businesses, certainly that require communication, which I think most businesses do. So
So in closing, do you expect or believe this should be something that should be studied psychologically in the future?
I definitely do. I don't think the Gen Z stare is like that in and of itself, but I think it's sort of a symptom of what might be going on at a cultural level, but also I'm more concerned about a psychological and a neuropsychological level because there's, again, a lot of things that happen that help us to regulate our emotions and feel safe and comfortable with other people by face-to-face interaction. And so when you do see someone with that blank stare, it can be a little disconcerting. And so you kind of wonder, well, what's happening with that person? And so I'd love to see some neuroscience. Scientists do some research on the stare, what's happening in the brain when people are engaging in the stare, and also how it's affecting other people who are kind of being looked at in this way. And that way we'll know for sure. We'll know if it's just maybe we're just again shifting away from the norm of having to be pretty and happy and open and receptive to everyone we meet, or whether it's something deeper in terms of it, like kind of like a more of a crude emotion regulation strategy in which you just keep your face completely neutral so you don't feel anything. So I think the whole concept of the Gen Z stare raises a lot of questions about face-to-face contact and our emotion regulation and how we socialize and how we conceptualize socialization and how we value it in our society.
Absolutely. Well, Professor Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. I learned a lot about what might be going on behind this Gen Z stare, and I hope our audience did as well. But thank you again so much for joining me for this conversation.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure.